Paul Sullivan wrote the Wealth Matters column for the New York Times for 13 years before founding the Company of Dads. It's the first platform dedicated to creating a community for lead dads. Welcome to the show, Paul.
George, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Yeah. And as I say that, I know that a couple of years ago, you were on the show already. So welcome back. Remind us, tell us a little bit about your personal lives, more about your work, and what motivated you to start the Community for Dads.
Well, there's a little shout out for you here first, George, because the first time around, you invited me on in my role as a New York Times Wealth Matters columnist, and then I kept following the podcast. And so this time around, I invited myself on, like that nervy, crazy aunt who comes over for Thanksgiving and doesn't leave. And the reason is, you know, I ended my column at the Times in 21 to start the Company of Dads because there's a huge gap. I'd been what I call a lead dad for years. A lead dad is a go-to parent, whether he works full-time, part-time, devotes all of his time to his kids, and in many cases is there to support his wife, spouse, or partner in their career and always being an ally to parents, caregivers at work. And I realized that there's nothing like that existed during COVID when I said, I need a little help here. And so it's something that I created to fill that void. What are we? We're a media company, we're a community platform, but we also do a lot of workplace education. So on the surface, you see the newsletter, the podcast, the features, you have our monthly meetups, but really we're trying to create some change through changing corporate culture and being part of the whole well-being offering that some of the top companies in America have.
And how is it being received thus far?
2 years in, so far so good. We'll be announcing a big partnership shortly with a national chain of childcare companies. We have a partnership to take what has been keynote talks and seminars and turn it into a course, a B2B course that'll be delivered over text, delivered over SMS. So we're really excited because that's the way to reach a lot of people. Keynote talks are a lot of fun, but to get 200 people in a room, you get a company that has 30,000 people, you need something different. And that's what we're developing now, hopefully launching around Father's Day.
And tell me a little bit about the content, but more so what is the desired impact? What's the point?
You know, one of our taglines is, you know, we're here to help families fulfill their full potential. And the Company of Dads works at home and it works in the office or the virtual office. You know, at home, it's helping men become equal partners. It's helping men step up and relieve some of that, mental burden that historically, you know, moms have had to shoulder. And it helps men feel more comfortable being deeply involved as fathers and to push back against stereotypes like, you know, Mr. Mom, house husband, or what are you retired, dude? And to really sort of, you know, bring men into, you know, 2024. You know, and the workplace, you know, men have been penalized when they put their hand up and said, I want to be a lead dad. I want to be a full parent. Any company will let you be an event dad. An event dad is, you know, I got to go to a recital. I got to go to a game. But lead dad is a fully involved a parent. But coming out of COVID, you know, so many men, you know, being driven by millennials, but certainly guys in their 40s and 50s too, who saw a change, they say, like, I want to be more present. So why does this matter? It matters because it's really good for the men, really good for the dads, so that they're more fully involved. They're not going to leave. They're going to feel more understood at that company. But it's even better for the working moms because now they have an ally. Now parenting is not something that's gendered. Now parenting and caregiving is something that, you know, men and women are doing together. And thirdly, it's great for those people managers because what is this? You know, what we offer is really a retention tool. We offer tools to companies to help them be better with some education, some tweaks to policies. And when they're better, people don't want to leave. And that's the key. Everyone knows that, you know, replacing a worker, even a mediocre worker, is really expensive. So let's keep them. Let's, you know, get the most out of them. Let's show that we trust them. And that's really the Company of Dads mission, you know, to work both at home and in the workplace.
I love it. It makes a ton of sense. Do you have, is it knowable? How many like dads that are we talking about? Millions?
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah. So this is how it all started off. I'm like, you know, maybe I'm wrong here. Maybe, you know, when I went online and there was nothing for lead dads, I'm like, I'm not like Steve Jobs inventing an iPad. I'm like, I'm a moderately smart guy, but not that smart. And I was like, how come this doesn't exist? And so, you know, you go to the U.S. Census, you go to Bureau of Labor Statistics, you go to Pew, and there are 25 million men in the United States who are lead dads or could call themselves lead dads. That's a third of all fathers. And the growth is being driven by millennials who want to live and parent differently. But as I said, like guys in our 40s and 50s, you know, COVID was a wake up call, particularly knowledge workers. Like, oh, wait, we can work in a different way. We can be more present. And so it's a huge number of dads, and it's this huge white space that just hasn't been filled. And so we've stepped into it. And I mean, I think that's really why so far so good. It's gone really well because there is this desire. And, you know, one of the things we say, George, is that it brings dads together in a way that other things wouldn't. And so what do I mean by that? I mean, you know, one of our members of our community is a guy who won the Super Bowl playing for the Philadelphia Eagles. Another guy won a bunch of Emmy Awards writing for The Daily Show. But then we have, you know, guys who are what we call lead dads who devote all their time to their kids. They're full-time dads. They're there all the time. We have single gay dads. We have, you know, divorced dads. And when I have these community meetups, we just talk about, you know, what it's like to be that fully present father. And it's not like, oh yeah, hey, you know, tell me more about when you sacked Tom Brady. Now that does some, that comes up sometimes because that is pretty cool. But for the most part, you know, we come together as lead dads, not as what we are outside of that space.
I see immense value in that. And I'm always curious, that it didn't exist. You are working to change behavior of organizations, and then you bring a bunch of guys together on a Zoom call or in an actual physical room, and they have this bend towards being a lead dad, but they're not necessarily comfortable or accustomed to talking about how they feel about things. And that's also a stereotype, but how has that been?
Yeah, I mean, it kind of opens it up, to be honest. That was one of my fears, because there's this kind of clever phrase that, you know, women socialize face to face and men socialize shoulder to shoulder. And you can kind of see it. You know, we're watching a game, we're doing whatever, we're giving each other shit, and this. But once you get in this group together, and the men know that they can be comfortable talking about what it's like to be a lead dad, you know, the barriers come down. I mean, I used to joke, like, in my pre, you know, when I was a lead dad, but not the founder of the company Dads, when I was just merely a New York Times columnist, if I had ever played a round of golf and sat there afterwards with my buddies while they're like, you know, texting for work, complaining about their wives, whatever. And if I looked down at my phone and I said, oh, did you guys have any idea how hard it is to get a 5-year-old into ballet in this town? They would look at me like, Sullivan, what were you doing out on the course? Did you pop a couple gummies? I thought this is your first beer. And now I coming out like this and talking about this, it's changed the dynamic. And, you know, we're still very much, it's only 2 years into it, still very much that stage of early adopters. So the guys who are coming to us really want to be here. But I mean, sometimes when do I get excited? When do I pat myself on the back? It's like when I see how diverse the group is, when I see that they're coming together because they want to be super engaged. And that's immensely rewarding. And so far, you know, there's a revenue model that works. People want it. Companies need it.
I'm glad to hear that. In terms of the working with organizations, are you thinking it as an employee benefit? It's just employee education. How do you think about that?
We come in through the learning and development component at a company, but I think of it very much as a well-being benefit. And, you know, some of the top companies out there, you know, PwC is one that we've talked to a lot. PwC is amazing. They think of well-being, you know, holistically. It's not just physical health. It's not just mental health. It's financial well-being. It's caregiving. It's, you know, equal, you know, parental leave. And then it's, guess what? You know, we all have kids. It's not like you give somebody 6 months off when they have a baby, and that's awesome. But it's not like 6 months in a day, parenting gets easier. And so these companies that think differently. And I equate what we're doing at the Company of Dads to what companies were doing 20, 25 years ago around mental health. That back then, it was a really progressive company that thought, we're going to take care of somebody's both their physical and their mental well-being. Today, you wouldn't work for a company that didn't offer some form of mental health benefits. It just would be inconceivable. And so we're very much at the beginning of this. You know, do certain companies get it, you know, more so than others and see the benefit of this? 100%. Are others still, you know, digging in their heels? Yeah, you know, but I don't have to convince everybody on day one. And, you know, one of the analogies we use is, and I'm sure this is one of your favorite movies last year, George, the Barbie movie. And I talk about, like, right now, if you have a parenting group and 100 people, you know, 100 people show up, 98 are going to be working moms. the two men who show up are going to be the Allens from the Barbie movie. And the Allen is the only non-Ken in the Barbie movie who gets a name, and nobody really likes Allen. He knows everything. He's, you know. And in the workplace, that Allen now is the guy. He's doing everything right, and he's telling he's doing everything right. And that's good for him. But when we come in, you know, we want to get some of those Kens who are in the Mojo Dojo Casa House. Now, of course, everybody's favorite scene in Barbie, the pinkest frat house anybody's ever seen in their life. Get those guys out of the Mojo Dojo Casa House and call them in. And companies have seen that this works. And so instead of having, 100 people, 90 and two, you get another 40, 50, 60 men who are the Kens, who are, they want to do this, but they're not comfortable talking about it because they're afraid they're going to get called out for not doing enough. They're afraid they're going to get mocked. And once they're in there, you have this much more powerful parenting group because you have men and women working as allies, not as adversaries at work. And that becomes a much more powerful argument to the people managers to see like, okay, this is how we get the most productivity out of our employees. Now, again, this is not a feel-good benefit. This is a raw capitalistic naked profit motive here. Like retain people, make them productive, go forward, produce whatever you're going to produce.
And it makes all the sense in the world what a huge difference maker it is. If you are a lead dad and you feel like the organization that you're working with, there's no way that you can say, I need to take time to do this, or I need to be coming in a little bit later. But if the organization says, no, that's great. We want you to do that. And we will support whatever schedule that you need because we know that you're doing great work. You're going to keep them forever.
Yeah. And one of the tricky things, George, is you can create the best policy you want. You can have Paul Sullivan, the company dads, come in, do a seminar, buy the course, whatever. And it looks great. Unless you have senior leaders who are also modeling this behavior, it doesn't work. You know, you could offer somebody, 10 weeks of vacation every single year. But if a senior leader says, "Ooh, you're going to take that? When I was at your level, I never took more than 3 days off." That's where it backfires. And that's been the problem that companies have had around parental leave. They've not modeled it in a proper way. So, men who want to take an equitable amount of time off have often been shamed into not doing it with managers who said, when I was at your level, I took a day off when my child was born. When I was at your level, man, I missed so much. I just hear at the office. And I say, they're not saying it in a remorseful way. They're saying it in a boastful way. And so we need leaders, we need to teach leaders how to model this. And at the same time, why do we want to do this beyond the retention part? It's also equitable. Like, if you're a woman, you've just given birth to a child, you're not going back to work on day three. You need to heal, you need to recover, you need to take care of the baby. And if we want to sort of promote people equally or give people an equal shot in a company to achieve whatever they are meant to achieve, we need that level of, leveling the playing field. And it often starts with parental leave. But as I said before, it doesn't end there because as you're finding out, as your kids get older, as I know my teenagers, you can have a day when they need you in a way different way and a much more time consuming way than a newborn does.
Yeah. Well said. I appreciate all that. It makes a ton of sense. Have you gotten pushback?
Have I gotten pushback? The funny, interesting thing is I've gotten very little pushback from women who I've spoken to in the HR suite, in the learning and development suite. They get it. I mean, they're working moms. They 100% get it. I've gotten pushback probably from two types of people really stick out. One, we have this thing that we call care days, and care days are in addition to sick days, in addition to bereavement days. They're certainly not vacation days. They allow people to be honest and declare a care emergency. Now, this could be for your kids. This could be for your spouse. This could be for a parent. You could have anything. You get to use it however you want it, but it allows you to be honest and authentic about why you're not there, why you're not there for half the day. And this one pretty senior guy pushed back and said, well, I give people 5 days of care days in addition to all the other PTO I give them, they're going to abuse it. And now I've just given them more time off. And I said, well, Do you manage your company for the bottom 30%? He's like, well, no, of course not. We manage for our high performers. And I said, well, right. Like your bottom 30% are always going to abuse things and you need to manage them out. Your top 30%, the top 30%, they have the ability to leave. They have the ability to get other jobs whenever they want that will pay them as much or more and give them what they need, you know, in their personal lives. That's what you want to target for. You want to target, you know, these added benefits for people like that who you trust, who you know will work at the top of their abilities, who want to do a good job, but they're human. They have things come up. That's one pushback. And the second pushback is on the phrase itself, you know, lead dads. And I've had some moms who identify as stay-at-home moms. They said, you know, why do you get to call yourself a lead dad? You know, what's a lead dad? Why come up with that title? And I said, look, if you want to call yourself a lead mom, you know, have at it. I didn't start the company of moms. I started the company of dads. And let's be clear, being a lead dad is not the same thing as being a stay-at-home dad. You know, most of the people in our community, most of the men in our community, they're working, but they're just stepping up and being the go-to parents. Sometimes I get minor pushback on the name, but those are the only two things. And if there's one thing I learned, George, from 13 years at the New York Times, I learned how to have a really thick skin, because at least now when I open up my emails, most of the time it's like, this is great. I'm so happy to know about this. I want to be part of it. How can I help? Whereas when I'd open up my emails at the New York Times, it would usually begin something like, hey, stupid, thanks for writing another stupid piece coming out of your stupid head from your life in Stupidville. You are so stupid. And so I don't get that anymore. So there's a benefit there.
Oh my goodness, that is so funny. Do you think that's funny? I bet, you know, after how long did it take for you to think that was funny?
So during the financial crisis, I started my column in 2008. During the financial crisis in 2009, people really reacted negatively to a column I'd written. And at the time, I'm almost embarrassed to say this because of this association now, but at the time, my photo on the New York Times website had me in a bow tie. And this group had a field day with it, and they were debating whether or not you could hang somebody with a bow tie. Oh. And I think the answer is no. I think it would break. But I didn't really want to tell. And they went on and on and on. And at the time, the way the Times email works, you just get pinged, 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 and it would sort of reflect to your. And my wife was looking at this on a Saturday morning, and she's like, are we safe? Are we going to be okay? And I said, look, I think we're going to be fine. Who even knows where these people are? They're just venting. They're venting because they are not angry at me. They're angry at the broader economic situation. I happen to write something there. So once you start with that, and there was this one guy, and in my final column, I gave him a shout out. His name is Harris Lertzman. And Harris Lertzman had a job in New York State, like, you know, Bureau of Economic Development or something like that. And for years and years and years, he would write me an email. And it was began like that. Hey, stupid, you know, you're so stupid. And he hated my column. And I would say to him, I said, Harris, my column runs on a Saturday. Saturdays are joyful days. Read the sports section. There's surely something in the art section that would, just don't even read my column. And at one point I hadn't heard from him in years. And he emailed me and I was like, Harris, you're still reading.
Buddy.
Let's get a cup of coffee. And he didn't get a cup of coffee. But so no, you know. Of all the pushback I get with the company of dads, it's usually benign and nowhere near as harsh or mean as what you get as a New York Times columnist.
Yeah. Well, you have to promise to let me know if Harris gets a hold of a new endeavor and see how he feels about that.
I can see it now. He's like, you sound even worse on a podcast than you do on the written page. Like, stop talking. I thought I got you to, Harris.
Even Harris. Stupider. More stupider.
The stupidest, the most stupidest.
That is pretty fantastic. Thank you for sharing that, Paul. And thank you for coming back on. Where can people learn more? How can companies learn about the wellness benefit? How do individuals take advantage?
Yeah, the one-stop shop is just go to the website, thecompanyofdads.com. If you want to stay abreast of everything we do, sign up for the newsletter, thecompanyofdads.com/thedad. It's called The Dad. And of course, like everybody else in the universe right now, all the social media channels are The Company of Dads.
Excellent. If you enjoyed as much as I did, or if you're curious as to whether or not you are a lead dad, or if your significant other, husband, whoever is a lead dad, just want to learn more, go to thecompanyofdads.com. Learn more about it, see about bringing it to your organization, see about you getting involved as an individual. sign up for the newsletter at thecompanyofdads.com/thedad, and then find them on social media. I'll certainly list all those in the notes of the show. Thanks again, Paul.
George, so good to come back on. Thank you very much.
Until next time, remember, do your part, doing your best.